James chapter 4 and verse number 13, and then we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 15 as well. So you might want to get that ready with your other hand. James chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. I want to begin reading down in verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning, God, and I do want to offer a special prayer for my wife as well, Lord. Not been feeling well this last couple of days, and just pray that, Lord, you'd help her to get over this bug that she's got and to feel stronger and better, Lord. And God, I do ask you now, Father, to just heal all of our illnesses, Lord. Each and every one of us has an issue somewhere. God, just help us, strengthen us, do what needs to be done in our lives. But more importantly, Lord, this morning, I do pray that, God, you'd bless this message, that you'd use it for your honor and glory, and that you'd speak to hearts here today, Father. These people came to hear from you, Lord, and I pray that somehow, God, you could hide me behind the cross, you could keep me out of their view, maybe they'd hear directly from you, your Spirit speaking through your word and the message today. And Lord, I pray that you'd do something great here in our midst, that something that only you can do. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, James 4 says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what does it do? It vanishes away. And when you start growing older, one of the things you realize is that time has a way of getting by you quite quickly. I don't know, I had all these plans that I was going to get done by the time May got here, and I have not got them all done. May has come faster than I thought I was going to. We're almost there. I mean, a couple more days, and here we are. There's a lot of plans that all of us make in our lives, something we're going to do. We've set a goal, and goals are good things. Set goals, aspire to reach goals. That's good. As long as the goal is good, it's a good thing to do. But the truth of the matter is that none of us knows how much time we really have. There's not a person in this room that can tell me. Now, some would say, well, you know, my grandparents, they lived until they were in their late 80s. And my, yeah, but that's no guarantee you will. You probably know someone else that didn't make it to 5 years of age. And you're probably some that never graduated from high school. And you start looking at that, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. None of us do. Some may say, well, I realize death is near, you know, because of their age. I know people in their 90s, mid-90s. You know, obviously they're thinking any day now. They're saved, they're ready to go to glory, but the idea is that, you know, they expect a reasonable anticipation of some time, but they've thought that for the last 20 years. Well, you don't know. And boy, I'll tell you, a lot of things happen. Now, Christians, you have another unknown in the equation, and that's the day that the Lord comes, the rapture, we call it, when we are translated, we are taken out of here. And you look at that thing and you go, when is that? I don't know. But Jesus said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. You look at that thing and you go, okay, so what are we looking at? We know that it's going to be quick. He said, behold, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to measure a twinkling of an eye, but that's not a very long time. And the idea is that, bang, that trumpet sound, Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together, alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4. And look at that thing, you go, well, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that you do not know how much time you have left. And nobody in this room can tell me that. And you look at that thing, you go, so what are you getting at? I'm getting at the fact that your opportunity to do anything today that would be putting you into the perfect will of God for your life, today is the time to do it. Think about this. If you were to know that God's will for you was this in your lifetime and you never got there, you never did his will your whole life, how are you going to feel standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ, him that went the distance to Calvary for you, him that had his feet and hands nailed to a cross, a crown of thorns, on his head, had been whipped and beaten, spit upon. He went all that way for you, and you never made it to his will for your life. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I want to talk to you about what is God's will, and whether or not today is the day you ought to take care of that part or perfect plan that he has for your life. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you can't know God's will for my life. Well, I'm going to show you some things that are real clear. I can't know every particular. I don't know what God's plan is for you in particularly. But I know in general there are some things the Bible's very clear about. And I want to talk about those and hope that maybe you will examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, that you'll prove your own selves by what you hear. What you see this morning. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're looking at the will of God, the revealed will of God. And you need to ask yourself, am I in this? Am I in? Am I right where I need to be with him? All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look in verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for, what does that say? All. To be testified in due time. You know, when you look at this thing, salvation is the will of God for every individual. Every man, woman, and child in this room, God's will is for you to be saved, to be born again, to be part of his family. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to you and I. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's that all again. You find in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, he goes down through there, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You look at the thing there, he says, for the scripture saith that whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that thing? It's all men to be saved. All have sinned. He died and gave him life, a ransom for all. He wants every man to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that whosoever again. Who is that? That's whosoever, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are you saying? I'm saying God wants you to be saved, and God did everything he could to make sure that you can be saved. But it's a choice you got to make. Bible tells us that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to earn your way to heaven. You don't get there by good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You know what else you'll find? The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:26, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You know what the world tries to tell you? Well, we're all God's children. But they don't finish the verse. They say, we're all God's children. No. He said we are all the children of God by, that's the means, faith in Jesus Christ. That's the means. That's the goal. That's how it gets done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. You see, what the world tells you over and over again is not true. They tell you all religions worship the same God. All the way, all the roads all lead to heaven. We're all going there, and we're all going to be one big happy family one day, and it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You look at that thing, you go, what is it? It is God saying, I want every man to be saved. I want every one of them to have their sins forgiven and washed away, receive the gift of eternal life. I want them all to spend to heaven, eternity in heaven with me. I don't want any of them to perish. I don't want them to burn in hell. I've done everything I can, and now I'm offering you the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. And, you know, you must receive that gift. That's what you have to do. And you say, well, yeah, well, I kind of believe that, and I'm getting around to it. Well, you know, what is your life? It is but a vapor. Appears for a little time and vanisheth away. Do you realize if you leave this planet without Jesus Christ, you are going to burn in hell for all eternity? I don't know about you, but I would think that that means today would be a good day to get this thing straight. It'd be a good day to make sure that I was truly born again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. He didn't say you might want to consider it. He said you must be. And you say, well, how am I going to do that? By putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone to save you. You know, the Bible says this, you receive him in the time accepted. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today. Say, why? Because you have no promise of tomorrow. Now, I know God's merciful. He's long-suffering. But can you bank on that? Can you say, you know what? I think I could wait till next week to get saved. Do you know you're not going to die? I read on the paper there, some people on the expressway, and here comes a semi-tractor-trailer truck, smashes into them, and kills a bunch of people. Do you think they were all sitting on the highway that day thinking, well, today's the day I'm going to go into eternity? I wonder if any of them in those vehicles were sitting there thinking, well, this Sunday I'm going to go to church and get saved. Might have been. You just don't know. And so to me, it's like I look at this thing and say, why not today? Tomorrow may be too late. If you're going to be in the perfect will of God, wouldn't you like to die in the will of God? I mean, I'd like to be in His favor when I go. I mean, I just want to be standing before Him. I'd like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in, son. You know, I'd like to hear that. So the first thing I would say to you, the revealed will of God, something that applies to each and every one in this room, is that we ought to be saved. You ought to know you're saved. Not a question about it, not a thought, a doubt in your mind. And you say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Then you show me in the Bible something different. Because your issue is not with me, it's with that book. You go in that book, and that book tells you how to be saved, and it plays very clear and quite precise that without Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. So have you been born again? Do you know for sure that you are saved? Do you know for sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? If you got even an inkling of a doubt, or you're thinking, well, I hope I am, maybe I am, I think I am, then you're not. You'll say, why? These things are I've written unto you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's a know-so salvation, and God wants you to have it today. I'll tell you something else. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I find this interesting that this passage we're going to read is in the same exact passage that talks about the rapture. You see, I quoted you some of those verses down there. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's a great passage. But look what he says in verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also has given unto us his Holy Spirit. Well, this one applies to the Christian. You said you're born again. This is your sanctification. This is the will of God concerning you, all right, as a born-again child of God. What does he say? It is your sanctification, even your sanctification. That's what he says in verse 3. And when you think about sanctification, what is it? Well, I'm going to give you the definition. It is the act of making something holy or sacred. It is to consecrate or set apart for a sacred purpose. May I say to you this morning that just like being saved, it takes an act of you submitting to what God has revealed, the truth to you. The revealed truth of God is salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That is a gift of God. That's the revealed truth. You submit to that, you accept that, you receive that, and you get saved. Well, now you're saved, and you get the truth of God given to you. God begins to show you something. You know what you need to do? You need to do the same thing. You need to receive that truth. You need to submit to that truth, and you need to act upon that truth. Sanctification. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I believe that's why, you know, when you think about things like sanctification, setting yourself apart, I believe that's why God wants that the Christian to get baptized by immersion after salvation. And we call it the first step in obedience in a Christian's life. All right, everybody in the Bible, they believed, and then they got baptized. And it was by immersion, they were under, and then brought back up. And the idea, you look at that thing, you go, why does he want me to do that? It's a public identification with him, and it is a proof of your submission to his will for your life. That's why. Does it wash away my sin? No. Does it save me? No. You got saved when you accepted Jesus Christ your Savior. So what does it do? It pleases him. It shows him that you're willing to identify publicly, you're willing to profess him publicly, and you're willing to live for him. That's the idea. Raised to walk in newness of life. That's sanctification. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor and sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Notice it is an act of the will of the Christian. If a man depart from iniquity, if a man purge himself from iniquity, that's what he's talking about here. You know, John 17, follow there what Jesus said in John 17. And I want to show you some scriptures because this stuff is so important. If you're going to, you know, one day stand before the Lord, I have a duty to make sure you understand all of this. What is this? This is his revealed will for your life. This is the stuff all applies across the board. Every man's to be saved. Every person that is saved should be sanctified. Amen. That's what he's saying. Even your sanctification. Notice John 17, 17. Jesus Christ here speaking, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth, what is he getting at? Ephesians chapter 5. Thy word is truth. Did he not say that? He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about the believers being part of the body of Christ. Notice what he says here. It's a picture of a husband and wife relationship. Ephesians 5, verse 25. He says here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, when you think about that for a moment, what is he getting at? He's getting at the fact that I've saved you, I've washed your sins away, I've kept you out of hell, you're going to live in with me in heaven for all eternity. I've left you here to serve me in a sense, and we'll get to that in a moment. And you know what he says? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to depart from iniquity. I'd like you to sanctify yourself. I would like you to read my Bible, read my word, wash your mind. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You want to know God's will for your life? You're going to find it in this book. You want to have the power to set yourself aside and consecrate your life for the honor and glory of Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to need to be washing your mind and heart in this book. This thing cleans you up. And you're reading it, it's reading you. It's the power of the Word of God. Look with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, your sanctification. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Boy, isn't that something? You start reading this stuff, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. It's over and over and over and over and over again. You know, we have a lot of people today that are just saved. That's it. Just saved. I would say, as Peter said, scarcely saved. They just got in. Just enough to get in, but nothing more. Romans 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, watch this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice there's a qualification on that. Why? You choose who you're going to follow. You choose. Jesus said no man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one, hate the other, or he'll despise the one, hold to the other. Where are you at? You can't serve yourself and him at the same time. You surrender to him, and then your life is a life that's sanctified, set apart for his will. It's the idea is that doing right, walking after the Spirit. Many times people will say, God convicted me, spoke to me, showed me, told me, but they fail in the obedience part. They don't do anything about it. And you go, well, why didn't you do something about it? Well, they just don't. Sanctification is not hard, but it is a decision that you must make by choice. Jesus told a parable. He said this, certain man had two sons. He said to his oldest son, he said, go into my field and work. And he said, I will not. And then afterwards, he repented and went. And then the other, he said to him, likewise, go in the field and work. And he said, I go, sir, but went not. Which of the twain did the will of his father? The one that went to the field. He said, I won't. But then he repented and he said, I'll go. Most of us heard the gospel at least once before we got saved, didn't we? And we knew the will of the Father was to save us, but, I will not. Not now. Not today. Next week. We put off. But then we repent and we accept Christ as our Savior. So we did the will of the Father. But how many say, oh, yeah, that sounds great, and never do anything with it? I've asked people if they're saved, they go, well, I'm a believer. Well, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. Amen? Now, think about this for a moment. Are you sanctified? Have you in your heart decided that Jesus Christ has a better plan for your life than you do? Have you got to that place, and we talk about it, where you are saying, you know what, I want the will of God in my life. I want God to get honor and glory out of my life. I want him to. I want that. It's the least I could do. You know, the Bible talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. The Bible says in Colossians 1 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 that ye should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You say, what are you getting at? There needs to come a place in every Christian's life where they put their all on the altar. Just, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And you know what you'll find? Once you make that choice, once you make that decision, There's just something, I it's kind of like salvation. You have to experience it to really know what it's like. It's the same thing with sanctification. It's when you finally just say, you know what, Lord, I'm looking at how I'm running things and my decision making, and that's really not all that great, and things aren't really going the way I planned with my life, and I don't want the rest of my life to be like it is right now. I want it to be pleasing to you. And we talk about, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the spirit control? Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, their heart's far from me. You know what God's will is for you today? Sanctification. Now, can you imagine if you were to come down to the altar this morning at the invitation time, tell the Lord, right from now on, Lord, your way, not mine. And then something happened. You got in a car accident, heart quit pumping, what do they call them, aneurysm, embolism, some kind of ism get you, boom, and you're in eternity. Boy, you know what you're going to be doing? Yes, yes, yes. Glad I did that today. Man, oh man, I'd have got in just saved. Much rather go saved than sanctified. But then there's one last thing, and I'll hurry here. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The will of God. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about today, your opportunity. What is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanish away. But you as a child of God, you don't even know that you're going to get to live that whole life. Because that trumpet could sound. That voice could be heard. You could be on your way to glory any moment, in a twinkling of an eye, gone. It'd be nice to know that you had these things in order, wouldn't it? Notice 1 Peter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You say, what is he getting at? Well, once saved, always saved is the truth of the Bible. We sang that song, How Firm a Foundation. He'll never, never forsake you. He'll never desert you. Won't do it. Said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what he said. Now you think about that. All right, so Lord does that, and forgot where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, okay. And so you got liberty. But he says, don't, you're free. You have liberty. But don't use it as a cloak so of maliciousness so you can go out and do wrong. And some people do. Well, that's okay. I'm saved. I got my get out of hell free card. So now I'm going to live like the devil? God forbid. God forbid. He said, with well-doing, that ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I'll give you an idea. I've been doing some thing, a little experimentation here lately. I have a red Donald Trump hat. And I put that hat on and I wear it and I go out in the public. And I kind of judge to see how people respond to it, what they say to it, that type of thing. And so there was somebody, I can't remember exactly how this went. It'll come to me probably halfway through the day. But there was an individual and I knew that they were troubled by the hat. You could tell, most people, 99% of the people I run into are going, nice hat, you know, and they like the hat. And so this one individual, I could tell they were troubled by it and didn't do anything. And so I went out of my way to be extra kind to that person and just talked with them and smiled and, you know, and just asked them how they were doing and just going out of my way to be nice to that person. And you say, why did you do that? Because when I walked away, I wanted them to realize that I'm not some kind of racist tyrant going at, you know, because that's what they're hearing. Now, I'm using that as an illustration, Christian, because they are being told that you are nutcases, that you're mentally disturbed, that you're believing in some God that doesn't exist, and you're ranting about some book that's just written by men. And who do they think they are? And that's the stuff they're being hit with over and over and over again. The Bible says, on some have compassion, making a difference. You're going to have to, with well-doing, win them over. The Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the next verse, Ephesians 2:10, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right, by being a good person, not to get saved, but because you are saved, you then begin to be that ambassador for Jesus Christ, that others see Christ in you. And they realize you have something they don't have. And boy, when they hit a down spot, they're going to seek you out. And maybe they'll listen to your testimony, or your witness, I should say, if your testimony would back it up. Amen. You know? Think about the foolishness. I told you I've made some mistakes when I first got saved, and I remember telling you I was only saved a couple of months, and I went to a Christmas party and got drunk and drinking and doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Do you realize how foolish it is to stand there with a bottle or a glass of alcohol in your hand and go, well, let me tell you, being a Christian is the best thing in my whole life. Now, how much weight did that carry? You're doing what they're doing. They're looking at you, you're here getting drunk with us. How great is that? You see? And it's when you step away from all of that, and could you take a drink and not go to hell? Yep. But should you? See? Could you do this, or could you do that, or could you go here, or could you? Yeah, you could. But it might take for you to be a servant of God to say, you know what? I'm not going there. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm just going to stand back from it. I'm going to separate myself from it. And I want to try to do right. And when you get there, look in 1 Timothy 2. And when you get there, God will start using you. You say, why? Because you're saved. Why? Because you're sanctified. Why? Because you want to be a servant. You want to do something for him. You want to please him. You want to do something for God. And notice 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And, you know, it goes on down through some other things. And you say, what are you getting at? Well, it tells you, be different, lady. Be a lady. Be a gracious lady. Be somebody that just people look at you and you're not the same as everybody else. But the same thing could be said for men. You know, I've run into in my life, a lot of times when I first started this church, I worked for over 6 years full-time and pastoring too. So I'm in the secular realm as well as in the church. A lot of people think, you know, just sheltered and live over here, never see anything. But I've watched Christians, when I got around them, they wanted to talk about the Bible, and they wanted to talk about, you know, this, and they knew who I was. But then, you know, I'd be walking down an aisle or something, and I hear a conversation on the other side of the aisle, Man, I'm hearing F-bombs dropping out and that some filthy joke being told and people are laughing. And when I step around the corner, there's those so-called Christians standing there right in the middle of it. And I got to tell you, I was the first time that happened to me, I was really struck. I was like, wow, what happened here? But I realized something. They were just saved. They weren't sanctified. They hadn't separated themselves. They hadn't grown. They weren't renewing their mind. They weren't transforming that mind and presenting their bodies a living sacrifice. They were not serving. Because how do you serve and partake with what they're doing, the sins of men? How do you serve God and do that at the same time? I'll give you another example. I went one time, I walked by, they playing some filthy, disgusting thing on the radio. This was Davidson's one. And, you know, they let us wear, an earbud if you wanted to listen. Like, I like to listen to Scripture, so I'd have something in, you know, I'd be listening to the Bible or something. And they said you can only put one in your ear. You have to leave the other one because there might be a pallet truck or something coming by. Well, I walked down, the shipping people, they've got this lousy program they put on, and this guy is a avowed atheist, and he is bashing Christians, and he's speaking vulgar stuff and talking about that. And so I stuck both the earplugs in my ear, and the boss saw me. He goes, "You can't only have one in there." I pulled the other one out, I looked at him, and I said, "Until you turn that vile trash off down there or have them turn it down where I can't hear it, I'm wearing two. Put it back in." And he said, "You're right. You don't have to put up with that." And he went right down there and took care of it. You see? And you say, what's the difference? The Christian that says, "You know what? I'm willing to take some heat for the honor and glory of my Savior. Willing to be a little different." There was another guy there that worked there. He was foul-mouthed all the time. His name was Johnny. Johnny just, everybody kind of stayed away from Johnny. Nutcase, crazy guy, blah, 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 blah. And I came by one day, and he was playing something really filthy. And I looked over him. I said, "I don't have to put up with that. You turn that down." Turn it down. Everybody went, "Huh? Johnny, turn it down?" Next time I walked by, Johnny said, "I'm sorry, Jim. You didn't need to have to hear that. I'm sorry I played it too loud." Then he sought me out in one of the aisles, and I got to talk to him and tell him about Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, you're going to serve. It's going to require you to take a stand. It's going to require you to do something good. That's what Jesus Christ made us, something good for his honor and glory. And he had a love for you and I that allowed him to reach out to us. We need to start demonstrating that to the world. And when we do, we will be serving our Lord. And boy, I'll tell you what, a serving Christian is a happy Christian. I've seen it. You know, those that have really, I'm serving, I want to live for God, they are happy. You don't find them moping and complaining and all this and that. They just, even if they're in pain and hurting, they don't even say anything because they don't want to complain because, hey, it's better than hell. You know, hey, God's been good to me. And you look at that thing, you go, okay, they're happy. You know what God's will is for you? Be saved, be sanctified, and to be serving. And if you were to start serving him today, and you were to die tonight, you would be forever grateful because you would be able to stand before the Lord and know in your heart that you were doing right and you were doing his will when you left this planet and stand before him in glory. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. I told you that each one of those passages that I read, as I read them all the way through, I wanted to get to a certain verse because each one has a concluding thought. In James 4, he said, your life is a vapor, appears for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And then he said this, therefore, in view of that fact, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know your time is short. You know what time you got to do it. If you're going to do something, do it now. If you're going to get right now. You're going to get saved now. You're going to get sanctified, make the decision this morning. You're going to start serving him, submit. Saying today. And 1 Corinthians 15, we read about in a moment and twinkling of an eye. It says at the end, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You have an opportunity today. You don't know that you're going to have tomorrow. So I encourage you, make your decisions today. The altar will be open here in a minute. You can just come down, talk to God. You can just pray and just get some things settled today. Let's stand for prayer if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, you know what the needs are here today. I don't know why you had me preach this message, but I know it's what you wanted me to preach. I pray, Father, that it didn't fall on deaf ears or hard hearts. And Lord, if there's something needs to be changed, something needs to be done, it'll be done right now. Right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People could come to this altar now and take that opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Pray that you'd do what seemeth thee good. Because you're the only one that can affect the change in us that's worth it. You're the only one that can help us to get the victories over sin. You're the only one that can give us the courage. The righteous are bold as a lion. God, we need that boldness. We need your help this morning. I pray that you'd help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.